All right. Hello, everyone. I would like to call to order the June 1st, 2021 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. Ms. Ancona, could I please have a roll call vote?
Roll call?
Yes.
Commissioner Bergsma?
Here.
Commissioner Henderson?
Commissioner Henderson, you're muted.
Here.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Here.
Commissioner Hong?
Present.
Commissioner Sturman?
Here.
Chair Gamble?
Here.
And Commissioner Posey is excused. Let the record show we have a quorum.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Ancona. If you guys could all follow me in the Pledge of Allegiance, I would appreciate that. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and for the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, well, welcome and thank you again to everyone that is joining us remotely. We're very much looking forward to when we are able to start up our in-person meetings, and I've been told that will be anytime soon. They're thinking August as the building is currently being renovated, and that is our holdup. So we'll have nice new chambers when we're back, and that will be so exciting. All right, so for a quick Zoom refresher, or if anyone who is unfamiliar with Zoom and would like to participate in tonight's meeting, at the appropriate time, I will let you know when we can have commissioner participation and then attendee participation. And to notify me that you would like to make a comment, if you go to kind of the bottom of your screen, if you are using the Zoom app, there is a raise hand icon. It kind of just looks like a hand. And you will click on that, and that will notify me that you would like to make a comment. If you are calling in on your phone, if you can press *9, that will raise the hand next to your phone number, and then I will be able to turn on your microphone and be able to hear your comment. So with that being said, I would like to open the call to the audience. And during this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not on today's agenda. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual commission members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda item, or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss matters raised during call to the audience. So if you wish to address the commission on a matter that is not on today's agenda, please notify me now by clicking the raised hand icon or by pressing *9. And I will give everyone a few minutes to do that. So I am not seeing any raised hands right now, so I will close the call to the audience. All right, so moving on, I would like to introduce, we have a couple of council members with us. We have Vice Mayor Barrett with us, Council Member Bowen is also with us, and Ms. Mary Jacobs, our town manager, is also with us. So we would like to extend a welcome to all of them. And I would now like to turn the time over to Vice Mayor Barrett for the council liaison comments.
Great, thank you. It's nice to see you this evening. I just want to provide a council report. We are deep into our budget discussions. We're looking at the PSPRS. We're looking at utilizing the half-cent sales tax to do some bonding for parks and recreation to address some of the needs on our parks and recreation master plan, including for the community center and golf courses, as well as Naranja Park and other areas that are of importance in our community and our master plan. And in terms of planning-related items, we recently heard on May 5th the discussion and action regarding that 16-unit expansion to the Oro Vista apartments that was heard by the Planning and Zoning Commission. And while that was pulled off of our consent agenda for discussion, it didn't result in any changes as that action was primarily ministerial in nature, as the zoning, as you know, was already present on the land. Upcoming council meetings, on June 2nd, tomorrow night, we're going to have discussion and possible action on a Rancho Vistoso text amendment to revise the front setbacks in the low density residential. And then June 16th, we're going to have a discussion and possible action on zoning code text amendment to section 22, updating the planning division work plan process that I think you're hearing tonight, and conceptual architecture for the La Posada senior living development located on Naranja Drive and First Avenue. So thank you for your work and recommendations, and the good work of the town continues to move forward, and we're appreciative for all who are involved in that. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Vice Mayor Barrett. We will now move on to our first agenda item. Ms. Ancona, can I please have you read that out?
Review and approval of the May 4th, 2021 regular session meeting minutes.
All right. Do I have a motion on that from one of the commissioners?
I make a motion that we approve the May 4th, 2021 regular session meeting minutes.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Sturman. Do I have a second? Commissioner Bergsma?
Yes, I'll second that motion.
All right, thank you. Ms. Ancona, could we please have a roll call vote?
Commissioner Bergsma?
Aye.
Commissioner Henderson?
Commissioner Henderson, you're muted.
You betcha. Aye.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
Aye.
Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
And Chair Gamble?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Ancona. Will you please read out our second agenda item?
Discussion and possible action regarding revised conceptual architecture for development area C of the La Posada Senior Living Facility located on the southeast corner of Naranja Drive and First Avenue.
All right. Thank you so much, Ms. Ancona. Before we get started, I just wanted to kind of give everyone an update on the nature of this. This is something you guys probably all remember. I know we've got a lot of participants and attendees. This is the former Nakoma Skies Senior Living Facility Center that, and all of that has already been approved and all of those rights have already been granted. Tonight we are only talking about the conceptual architecture plan. We will not be discussing any other matters as they mostly were already granted those rights. And once those rights are given, we can't take them away. So with that being said, I just wanted to make sure that's what we were focusing on in the interest of everyone's time. And then our staff presenter on that is Mrs. Sims, and I will turn the time over to you for staff presentation.
Thank you, Chair Gamble and commissioners. Everybody hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. I'll share my screen. Just give me one moment. Good evening. My name is Malini Sims, and I'm a principal planner with the Town of Oro Valley. Our purpose tonight is to consider revised architecture for the La Posada Senior Living Facility. The La Posada Senior Living Facility, is formerly known as Nakoma Sky, is located on the southeast corner of Naranja Drive and First Avenue. The design for the site, including building placement, circulation, setbacks, and height, was approved back in 2014 through the Nakoma Sky Planned Area Development, or PAD. This site includes several development areas that will be constructed in various phases. Our focus tonight is only on the architecture design of the building facades for development area C, which is shown in light green on the screen. Development Area C includes 4 residential buildings for independent care, an arrival plaza, 2 amenity buildings for an indoor pool and fitness center, and a parking garage. Architecture for the future phases of development will be brought to the commission for consideration at later dates. Per code, changes in design require reconsideration by the commission and town council. I will walk through the similarities and changes between the previously approved and revised architecture later in my presentation. But again, review and tonight's discussion is focused on compliance with the Nokomis Guide PAD architecture standards, which includes the town's design principles and design standards applicable to the building facades. This item is being presented tonight for discussion and possible action. The commission is tasked with providing a recommendation to town council. So again, the site design and development standards, which include an allowed building height of 5 stories, were approved in 2014 through the Nokomis Guide PAD. These items are not under consideration or discussion this evening since they were previously approved. However, notable approvals regarding the architecture include a PAD concept approved in 2015 and a more detailed design subsequently approved in 2016. As shown on the screen, the revised design includes similar elements from the previously approved concepts, such as the green standing seam metal roof and muted earth tone colors. These similarities are because the revised design uses a previously approved colors and materials palette, which blends in with the surrounding desert and landscape. However, the revised design reconfigures the colors and materials to create a more contemporary take on the Southwestern style. This shift in design is mostly noticeable at the building's entrance and along the residential facades, which are shown on the screen. This change requires consideration by the Planning and Zoning Commission and Town Council. Yet again, the focus of the review is on conformance with the design principles and applicable design standards. With regard to the design style, the contemporary approach is permitted and encouraged by code. By using the previously approved colors and materials palette, specifically the green standing seam metal roof of the revised design incorporates elements common to Oro Valley. Additionally, the design reduces the building mass and scale further than the previous concepts. Similar to the previous design, the building mass is reduced by dividing the wall planes into geometric shapes and varying the colors and materials in a balanced and cohesive manner. However, the revised design breaks up the previously approved height of each residential building further by stepping the buildings down from east to west, which lessens the visibility to the public. The current concept also incorporates landscape terraces on each building step to further break up the building mass and meet the PAD requirement. The variation of colors and materials and fenestration is utilized on all sides of each building. Additionally, all the residential buildings include pedestrian-level features such as well-defined entries and grounding elements like textured stone. The arrival and 2 amenity buildings include the same materials used on the ground level of the residential buildings, such as stone veneer and wood texture, to uniformly define the pedestrian experience for the entire development. Lastly, all mechanical equipment will be screened for code. Screening for the service area and the design for the parking structure are also provided, both of which are compatible to the main building and incorporate different colors and materials to break up the wall planes. I have touched on many of the applicable design standards as they provide the methods to meet the design principles, so I won't go through each of these with a lot of time. But I do want to emphasize that the design for Development Area C provides pedestrian level features, varied roof lines, and well articulated wall planes. Something I did not touch on earlier, but is notable is the shade from overhangs are placed along facades using glazing or lots of windows. In summary, the revised architecture concept is similar to the previously approved design. However, the revised design reconfigures the previously approved colors and materials to create a more contemporary style. Again, our focus tonight is on the building facade's architecture only. Staff finds the revised architecture for Development Area C is in conformance with the Nokomis Sky PAD design principles and applicable design standards, and therefore recommends approval. This concludes staff's presentation, and the applicant, Jay Silverberg, is also here to provide a presentation and answer any questions. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Sims. I will now turn the time over to Mr. Silverberg. Can we get him switched to the panelist list? Hi, Mr. Silverberg.
Good evening.
All right, you've got the floor.
Fantastic. Melanie is going to go ahead and pull up our short presentation. And while she's doing that, Chair Gamble and members of the P&Z Commission, good evening. Again, my name is Jay Silverberg, and I'm a design principal with Gensler Architects. We are part of the Diversified Design Build team, and we're going to be representing our client La Posada this evening. Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you about the architecture conformance of the La Posada project at Push Ridge with you tonight. You know, our focus will really be on the architecture, and you know, we're going to show you know, with some examples tonight, our conformance, you know, certainly with the Nokomis Sky planned area development, or the PAD architecture requirements, and then also, as Melanie mentioned, design principles and applicable design standards, you know, from the town that we've, you know, rolled into the design of the project. We kind of believe through the imagery tonight, we'll really show how the architecture conforms and meets the approved PAD originally set forth. So with that, next slide, please. A few moments of conversation in and around the architectural concept. You know, the concept of the project really, you know, particularly the architecture really embraces the natural landscape, the beauty of this really beautiful, majestic site, and also captures the spectacular mountain views, you know, from this project. You know, we, you know, kind of as a design team had really looked at developing, you know, the architecture of the project to kind of really reinforce those three design elements, but also to kind of create a sense of community and a sense of place for the project. Also with that, you know, the project site has been arranged in tune with the approved zoning and uses the granted entitlements in the approved zoning with minor amendments that we believe work very, very well with this site, and what we would look at is the lay of the land and the topography of the site, and also really meets the intent of that approved PAD. We feel that we'll begin to show you some imagery that really represents the building architectural features, again, that have really been approved by with the original PAD and the design principles and standards of the town. So with that, could we go to the next slide, please? The first image you see here is an overall image from the southeast. You'll see that the project really captures a number of the significant design principles set forth by the town. The ideas of scale and massing, you can begin to see how the building begins to meet those requirements in a sense of architectural massing and elements begin to step down, particularly towards the east. You'll see that each building has articulation of the massing, also varied wall planes and varied roof planes. I think overarching with the concept for architecture is that, you know, it really captures the essence of the context. You'll see that we proposed, again, the use of desert hues and really creating a pedestrian scaled feel and flavor for the project. Also, the way that the design has been worked through, you'll see is that the buildings are really reducing the scale and the massing as it does step down towards the wash and towards the southeast in particular. Next. This second perspective you see is a view kind of approaching the project, particularly from the south. You'll see here is that, the design principles of scale and height and mass have been articulated. You'll see the proposal of varied roof lines. Landscape terraces were very critical as part of the original PAD. We have a number of landscape terraces that happen throughout the project, and on some of the other views, you'll be able to see those. But we also have multiple terraces on multiple levels, and that will allow for really nice views in and out from the project, and also to break up the mass and the look and feel of the project to give us a better scaled project. Next slide, please. The next design principle really to focus on is facade articulation. And with this, you can see this is an image of the view of the arrival plaza on the west side of the project. You'll see that it does entail a variation of color and texture, particularly from a massing perspective, the articulation of fenestrations to break up the wall and wall planes. You'll see that there was a very strong effort to create a pedestrian scaled approach to the building, and also to develop cohesive design elements that become consistent throughout the project as the textured stone material, the use of color, and also the use of balconies and terraces on the residential wings to break up the scale and mass of the project to be in conformance to the original PAD. Next slide, please. This is a perspective of the residential units, and this is particularly at the end of the units, kind of facing towards the east. You'll see is that the building mass is broken up into a series of smaller massings that begin to step down towards the east. You really also begin to see the varied roof lines here in the foreground. Also the idea of wall plane articulation. You'll see there's various balconies. There is kind of a lot of three-dimensional push and pull in the facade. Again, articulating, a number of the program uses of the building. But again, the overall look and feel, really promotes the idea of the varied wall planes and roof planes for the project. Next slide, please. This is a view of the five-story residential building. And this begins to show a number of the applicable design standards that have been designed in the project for conformance. Again, varied roof lines. You'll see the use of geometric shapes to divide the massing. You'll see the elevated roof terraces that happen at numerous locations throughout the project. You also see the integration of landscaping and the pedestrian orientation of courtyards in between these residential buildings. Again, the use of the varied roof planes and the residential look and feel slope to really bring a nice pedestrian character to the project. Again, highlighting the use of the multiple terraces on multiple levels. Next slide, please. This is a view of one of the residential buildings at the west edge and the north side of the project. Particularly of note is, the use of the geometric shapes to really articulate the massing. You'll see we have a number of defined entries that are shaded. Also, we've used landscape elements and low wall elements to kind of create a very identifiable front door and entries to each of these buildings. Again, you'll see the use of articulated massing to kind of give it the articulation and a residential kind of character and feel that we think is in conformance to the original PAD. Next slide, please. This is a view of our courtyard area that's in the center of the project. It connects to the amenity building. The architecture tries to develop really the look and feel of a small character village. Again, a very pedestrian friendly feel for the project. You'll begin to see the architectural treatment at the base of the building kind of happening on a number of these smaller structures. Also, the use of shade, the use of elevated terraces is also very evident kind of in this view also. This is an area that, begins to open up to the east and creates tremendous views out to the mountains. Also, it creates a great, almost resort-like experience for all of the residents. Next slide, please. And lastly, we'd like to finish up tonight with, as Melini had presented, the previously approved color and material palette. We believe, we have conformed with this and used this as our guiding principles from a design and architecture perspective on the images that we've just presented. We truly believe that the conceptual architecture for this development area C meets the Nokomis Sky PAD that's been set forth, and also the design principles and applicable design standards of the town. And with that, that completes our presentation for this evening, and we'd like to open it up for comment and questions. Thank you very much.
Chair Gebel, you're way muted.
Thank you. Sorry about that. I clicked it and I didn't click it all the way. All right, so I'm going to turn the time over to the commission to ask any questions of the applicant. So if you've got a question, please raise your hand. All right, so I'm not seeing any applicant questions right now. So, Commissioner Henderson, can you unmute and... There we go.
Yeah, I want to make this an easy one. Thank you, Chair Gebel. It's been several years since the prior approval of this project. I just wonder why a design change at this time.
All right, Mr. Silverberg.
The reason we have been developing the project based on that current PAD that had been previously approved. The timing now from the client perspective is the right time to move the project forward. And we worked with that currently approved PAD and the principles and standards that are set forth with the town, with the revised architecture for the project. And I think it's ready to be to kind of move into the construction sequence of the project from the client's perspective.
Great, thank you. Does that answer your question, Commissioner Henderson?
Well, not fully, but I'm not sure I know how to phrase a follow-up question. What do you see as the major improvements in this design change?
I would say that, and again, staying, true to the original, certainly on PAD, I think the massing of the project is a little bit more sensitive from a scale perspective. I would say that, we have tried really hard to really capture the essence of this, absolutely beautiful site. And, it opens up a bit more to the east. And again, it's just the scale of it's a bit smaller. And we think it just creates a much more, a much nicer pedestrian experience.
Could I follow up one more time?
Sure.
I appreciate your patience, but how is the scale reduced by the new architecture? You're still using 5-story buildings, and I don't see any major change to the mass. Is it just perspective of the mass?
Yeah, it's mostly the perspective and orientation of some of the residential buildings, which I think certainly is a bit more sensitive to kind of opening up the project a bit more, particularly to the east for the views. And then also, the amount of, some of the taller massing, we were able to kind of reduce a little bit of that. I mean, I know as you look at it, it looks very similar. And that was kind of our approach on this to do that. But it's really the orientation of the buildings and the relationship of really some of the amenity spaces, with the project to kind of make it feel much more open and a much more pedestrian friendly scale.
All right, Commissioner Henderson, does that answer your question?
Thanks, Chair Gebel, and thank you, Mr. Silverberg.
Yeah. All right, did we have any other questions from commissioners? So I am not seeing any, so I am going to open up the public hearing portion of our meeting, and let me switch to my attendees list. So if there's anybody from the public who would like to comment on this project, if you could raise your hand now, if you are using the Zoom app, or if you are calling in by pressing *9. And I'll give some time to allow anybody who would like to speak to speak. All right. So our first speaker is going to be Peter. So if we could get his microphone turned on. And Peter, if you could state your name and whether or not you are a resident of Oro Valley, and please keep your comments to 3 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. Good evening. It's Peter March. I am a resident of Oro Valley here in the sanctuary at Silverhawk neighboring community. I appreciate the time. And I guess I just want to clarify. What I've heard is that the plan is approved, the height of the buildings are approved, and there's no potential public feedback along those lines. Is that correct?
That is correct. Those were approved several years ago, so we are not able to change any of that at this point.
Okay, so I guess then it's just a comment that this neighborhood was just completed recently, right? $1 million homes neighboring this complex, and the story that we were told when buying the home is a little different than what I'm now hearing tonight. So it's a little unfortunate that the five-story height is done and approved, given that's one of the highest buildings here in Oro Valley and neighboring a million-dollar community. So a little disappointing to hear that. That's between me and the builder, but just some feedback for the commission that it would have been great had this neighborhood had a little more, I think, visibility on this project and that approval, given that it was kind of a parallel build neighboring this project. And I guess I'll just leave it at that, and thank you for the time to make that comment.
All right, no problem, Peter. And just so you know, the Oro Valley website has a wealth of information on ovprojects.com, I believe it is, that would have given you the information that you were requesting. And just for anybody else, too, that's always a good reminder, real estate agents and, home builders are not always as forthcoming, but the town does do a really great job about being transparent with that. That information can be found on the town's website. And I do believe that this was approved before the Silverhawk. Is that correct, Mr. Vella? This was approved before then that those were built. So I am sorry that happened to you, Peter. That is very unfortunate. I apologize. And I am going to move on to our next hand. It's Bibi.
Hi. Hi. Excuse me. This is Bruce Burgess. I'm also an Oro Valley resident and a resident of Sanctuary at Silverhawk. I would just be curious, now that the structure has been redesigned, what considerations were taken regarding the sightline impact of the Sanctuary of Silverhawk residents, if any consideration at all was given in the redesign?
Mr. Andrews, would you like to say something?
I'm just saying that generally, after you've gone through this, what you do is close the public section and then let staff answer so you're not interrupting folks while they're asking their questions. That's all.
Okay. All right, so do we have, that's the only other public hand I see. So I will close the public hearing now and I will have staff answer your question. So Ms. Sims.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. So as stated earlier with the 5-story height allowance that was approved in 2014, there was a lot of focus and review on the placement of the 5-story buildings during that time for to make sure that the visibility of those buildings are as screened as possible by the natural topography, and that's from all angles of the site. So that was definitely a focus and well considered when the 5-story height, prior to it being approved and going through the public review process.
All right, thank you, Ms. Sims. I'm now going to turn the time back over to Commission for any other questions, comments, and discussions. Was there anybody that had something that they would like to ask or have an opinion on? I'm not seeing anything, so I am going to ask for a motion. Commissioner Bergsma.
Yes, Chair Gamble. I move to recommend approval of the revised conceptual architecture for development area C of the La Posada Senior Care Living Facility based on the finding it is in conformance with the Nakoma Sky PAD design principles and applicable design standards.
All right, thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Sturman. Ms. Ancona, could we please get a roll call vote?
Commissioner Bergsma?
Aye.
Commissioner Henderson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
Aye.
Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
And Chair Gamble?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
All right. Thank you very much. And if you could read out our third agenda item.
Public hearing, discussion, and possible action regarding a proposed zoning code amendment to Chapter 21 and associated chapters to revise the Planning Division work plan adoption process.
All right. Thank you. And our staff presentation is none other than Ms. Mary Jacobs, our town manager. So I will turn the time over to her for her presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the commission. It's my privilege to be here this evening. I don't get a chance to see y'all very often, so I had to figure out some way to come and chat with you. And I thought that this was the appropriate way to do that. And as I was talking to the staff, and I understand that you've already had an opportunity to really dig into this item in a study session, I thought that I would use just a few minutes of your time to further just kind of dive into the reasoning behind this item from my perspective as the town manager. I know you've already gotten the briefing behind it, but one thing I just wanted to touch upon this evening is again, really emphasizing that this change is what makes it consistent with how the rest of our work plans in the departments are conducted. And then I understand there was some conversation last time around regarding the process of the town council's development of the strategic leadership plan. And I just wanted to take a moment to share with you a little bit more information about what that strategic leadership plan is. Because it really is not just the implementation of the general plan. If you read all of the items that are in the strategic leadership plan, it's the town council's priorities for the next 2 years. And it includes things that are both in the general plan and, of course, things that aren't. I mean, there's nothing mentioned about the PSPRS, our unfunded liability, in the general plan, right? So there's a lot of things that happen in town operations that are not included in the general plan. And that's why this is called the strategic leadership plan and not a strategic plan, because it's providing the leadership, the leader's guidance to me as the manager. And then of course, I'm the one who's held accountable for the implementation of their plan. And that's why the recommendation is that we remove what is, what I consider to be something a little outdated and not in keeping with the council manager form of government, which is to take one particular division and have a recommending body make a recommendation to the town council about a work plan, but then I'm the one responsible for implementation. So really that is, it just was not consistent with how we were doing things in the rest of the organization. So The staff did a really great job of giving you some flow charts about things that, how things work. And again, what I really wanted to emphasize today is that this is not in any way intended to somehow prevent the Planning and Zoning Commission from providing input to the town council on priorities that the council may want to include. You are always welcome to do that. at any time, and we will always bring those forward to the town council. But ultimately, as the elected body, it's their responsibility to set those priorities for the next 2 years, and that's what their strategic leadership plan does. And then my job as the manager is to take all of that information, to work with my departments and have them outline what their work plans are so that I can put together the right resources and recommend a budget to the town council that supports their direction to us. So I, you know, that's about all I wanted to say this evening. I'm certainly available, as well as the planning staff, to answer any specific questions that you have about this proposal. And I appreciate the privilege of being here before you this evening. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of commission.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobs. So I will turn the time over to the commission members for any questions that they may have. Commissioner Bergsma.
Yes, thank you, Chair Gamble. I do have one question for Ms. Jacobs. So if I understand from the comments that Vice Mayor Barrett made under her portion of the agenda, the notion of defining the role of advisory commissions and boards in the development of the strategic leadership plan will be considered at the council's June 22nd meeting, is that correct?
No, I believe that the vice mayor was simply mentioning that this item was going before the council at their next meeting on June 16th. And so, no, I don't have any, we don't have anything on the agenda specifically regarding board and commission input on strategic leadership plan, because it was just adopted.
Okay. What I was referring to is the process that that the council would use going forward in the development of future leadership plans.
Well, my experience as the manager is that you can have a general process, but each elected body essentially sometimes makes tweaks to their process as they're elected by the community to do so. So I give them recommendations on what that may look like. And you know, my experience is that some are more tied to their boards and commissions more formally, some are less formal. One of the things that we did in preparation for the council's retreat on the strategic leadership plan is we do review, we outline, we give them a very large packet of information, including an analysis of all of the general plan items, what has been accomplished, what is left to be accomplished, as well as a number of our other plans, many of those plans, which have been created with the input of boards and commissions over the years. So the water utility plan and that sort of thing. And we provide all of that information along with an environmental scan. And so it really is meant to try to capture as much information as possible. But again, you know, as I came on as the manager almost 4 years ago, the process for developing the strategic leadership plan changed under my direction as well. And so, you know, there is no formal policy on the part of the council as to how that's being done. Just that some councils in the past have done one every single year. I personally find that 2 year plans are more workable because some of those projects take longer than a year. You know, you got to do a planning year, then you have to do an implementation year. And so could it change in the future? Yeah, it could. It absolutely could.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Were there any other commissioner questions about that? All right. I am not seeing them. So I will turn the time over to the public for any questions that they may have.
Chair
Gamble, do we not have that on this?
Chair Gamble, if you could, it's actually an official public hearing.
Yes.
This is an ordinance amendment. So if we could use those words, those are magic, and then everybody knows that everything is in order. but thank you.
Okay, what language are you wanting me to use?
I would just like you to officially open the public hearing.
Oh, okay.
After hands, officially close it if you would.
Got it. Thought I was missing something there. So I would like to officially open the public hearing. And if there are any members of the public who would like to comment on that, please do that now by raising your hand, by pressing the icon, or by pressing *9 on your phone if you are calling in. And I am not seeing any hands, so I will close the public hearing and turn the time back over to commissioners for discussion. So if there's anything that you guys would like to discuss, please raise your hands now. Commissioner, Commissioner Bergsma.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. So I was the one that raised the concerns at the last meeting about this. I appreciate the staff in their report did address those concerns in items 1 to 3 in the executive summary. I think they did a pretty good job of that. It's noted under item 1, the board's commission's roles and future strategic leadership planning efforts has yet to be established by the council. It is within the commission's purview to make a recommendation to the town council to formalize a process for their continued input in the council's strategic leadership planning process. So I think that's where I'm at. I think that there needs to be some formal process, and I understand what Town Manager Jacobs is saying about the ability of a council to change the process when they want. That's true of an ordinance. It's true of anything. They can initiate ordinance changes as well as changes to policy when they want to, but at least they have to go through a formal process before they do that. Now there is no formal process identified, and what we're doing is giving up on a formal process, even though it may not work in the present circumstance, and replacing it with something that's, well, who knows what's going to happen from plan to plan, from every 2-year period. First, as Town Manager Jacobs noted, in the couple of years or 4 years she's been here, we've been through 2 different processes. The previous planning process did involve the public. This time it did not, but it did involve advisory commissions and boards. So I guess I would support this if I felt like there was going to be some formal process identified for not just the Planning and Zoning Commission, but all commissions and boards. So that's my feeling right now.
All right. Did any of the commissioners have any other questions? Oh, Ms. Jacob.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Commissioner Bergsma, thank you so much for your comments. I certainly understand and will be happy to pass those along to the Town Council. The one thing that I wanted to point out about this particular code as it currently stands that we're eliminating is that this is not a process to approve strategic items. This is a process, what the commission is involved in right now is approving a work plan. A work plan is developed after the council establishes the priorities, not before. And so what's happening in this process is you're approving a work plan after the fact, and that belongs to me. And so this process never was about the strategic development of the work plan. It was always about implementing the priorities of the town council. And at least that's the way that I read it. And that's what we're changing. A work plan is the implementation of something. And so I hear you, Commissioner Bergsma, that the Planning and Zoning Commission may have some thoughts and ideas on priorities that the council may want to include. As I said, they're always welcome, those are always welcome to be a part of the council. And I can speak from experience that our town council and all of the councils that I've served in my career have always valued the input of their citizen boards and commissions, and this one certainly is no different. And so, as I see it, is the discussion that needs to be happening is about those strategic things, not the work plan check things off, but what are the strategic things that need to be done? And that's a conversation that should be happening with this commission and with our other commissions. And it's our job as staff to bring those ideas forward to council. And we do. I can tell you that many of those things were brought forward. For example, the historical, our Historic Preservation Commission, they had some thoughts and ideas that, again, we shared in the background information, not formally, but informally. And so we would welcome your input, appreciate your comments. And like I said, we have two, the vice mayor and Council Member Bowen are on this evening. I know that they're listening to you and very much respect your input, and I will be glad to discuss that with them in the coming months. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, Commissioner Bergsma, did you have another discussion point?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that I understand why it's appropriate that the Planning and Zoning Commission should not be involved in the work plan process. I think it's best if we were involved rather in the strategic planning process. I guess my concern is that I want to make sure that our involvement in that strategic planning process is formalized, as opposed to, well, we'll identify issues if we want to, but it's not really laid out clearly as to whether it's going to work like it did this time or whether it's going to work differently in the future. I'd rather see a formal process for doing that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Bergsma. Were there any other commissioners that had comments? I'm not seeing any. I know as I was going through this, and I am someone who kind of likes to keep our meetings very efficient. And this item in particular, I definitely think that, as a commission, we don't really need to be involved in that strategic leadership to-do list and managing that. I think Ms. Jacobs does a great job, and I think all of the staff do a great job, and I still feel like we have a lot of outlets where we can bring issues forward to town council. And I know Mr. Vella has just been such a great help, and I know I'm always able to come to him if there's anything that I have concerns about that I want passed along or that I want to see on a future agenda. So I think we do have those safeguards in place where we as a commission are still able to be heard while not having to kind of, muddy the water of the town's to-do list at the same time. So those were my thoughts on that. Last chance for any other commissioners that had a discussion on that. I'm not seeing any, so at this time I will call for a motion. Commissioner Bergsma, you've got your hand up first.
Okay, thank you. I move to recommend approval of the proposed code amendment to revise the Planning Division work plan adoption process with the understanding that the council will formally establish the role of commissions and boards in the strategic planning process.
All right, do I have a second on that? So I do not have a second on that. Do I? So So, Mr. Andrews, if we don't get a second, what is the protocol for that? Do we need to have a new motion?
Chair Gamble, basically what just happened is that motion died for lack of a second, and you are correct. We need a new motion.
Okay. So, is there someone or a commissioner that can do a new motion? Commissioner Sturman.
I move to recommend approval of the proposed code amendment to revise the Planning Division work plan adoption process.
All right. Could I get a second on that? Vice Chair Harrington.
Second motion.
All right. Ms. Ancona, can you please give us a roll call vote?
Commissioner Bergsma?
No.
Commissioner Henderson?
Commissioner Henderson, you need to unmute.
You're so right. I'm sorry. Yes.
Vice Chair Harrington?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
Could you repeat the motion, please?
Read the motion?
Yes.
To recommend approval of the proposed code amendment to revise the Planning Division work plan adoption process.
Yes.
Commissioner Sturman?
Yes.
And Chair Gamble?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-1.
All right. Thank you for that. Ms. Ancona, I'd like to turn the time over to is it Mr. Bella for the Planning Division update?
Yes, Chair Gamble. Thank you. Good evening, members of the Commission. I just really wanted to point out two things, which are two items on your next agenda, next Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. One is consideration of a architectural review of a proposed new building within the project at the northeast corner of Lambert and La Cañada. There's a new building pad going in right between the Fry's gas station and the inline shops to the north. And it's known as the Catalina Pediatric Dentistry Center. So we look forward to bringing that before you. Another item for next month is actually another code amendment to this same very chapter that we discussed this evening, chapter 22. This is an item regarding general analysis of zoning district conformance with the general plan. So there's some somewhat dated provisions in there, and the idea is to bring them all to current. So we envision two items. And then finally, as Chair Gamble shared, we anticipate July likely to be another Zoom meeting. And then moving toward definitely in person by August. So we certainly look forward to getting everyone back together again. So that concludes the planning report. Thank you very much, Chair and Commission.
All right, thank you, Mr. Vella. Can I have a motion to adjourn? Vice Chair Harrington.
Make a motion that we adjourn.
All right, second?
Second.
All right, meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone.